Welcome to a seminar on reading the Bible for yourself, personal Bible reading. We're just going to start off straight in Scripture, which I think is helpful. So, can I get a volunteer reader for Colossians 3, 1-4, please? Wave at me if you're up for that. Yuli, thank you. Colossians 3, verses 1-4.
If, then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Okay. Wonder, as that was read, did you pick up what is the purpose of the Christian life? Well, you get two imperatives on the way through. Seek the things that are above, and set your minds on things that are above. So seek and set your minds on. Go for an act of the will. Go looking for, and actually then think about things that are above, things of God. Think about God in Christ. And it's not an exercise in just philosophy. You're not just thinking about vague things in the world, but you think about God in Christ. And it's an exercise in listening and thinking, receiving from the Lord and then putting into practice what you hear, all done from the position of one who already has access and a hope. So the purpose of the Christian life is to know the Lord better and seek him more and more each day. And that involves thinking about and listening to the words that the Lord has said to you, and then thinking about how to put those into practice in your life. Now, that's wonderful, because there will never be a moment in your life that you can't hear from the Lord. One of the things that we get to say at the very start of the seminar is there will never be a day in your life that you can't read your Bible and hear the God who created the entire universe, who flung the stars into space and loves you more than you understand. There will never be a day in your life you can't hear him. If you ever think, I just don't feel like the Lord's really speaking to me, open your Bible and remind yourself that he has already spoken through his Son. And so actually, this seminar could be one where we come in feeling very guilty, very frustrated with ourselves. But actually, this is one of joy. This is something, friends, that we get to do, is to read our Bibles, not just something that we have to do. But in light of that, then, I want us to just take a quick straw poll. So close your eyes, and I mean close your eyes, and I don't mean not close your eyes, because this is something we don't want to see of each other. So close your eyes. Well, to put your hand up if you read your Bible this morning. Excellent. Put your hands down. I want you to put your hand up if you find Bible reading easy. Okay. I want you to put your hands up if you want to get better at reading your Bible. Fantastic. Okay, hands down. Eyes open. Friends, if you're sitting there feeling guilty because you didn't read your Bible this morning, stop. Ridiculous, not helpful. One of the things we're going to do today is just think about when that moment comes and I start to feel, well, I didn't read God's word this morning, so I'm not a very good Christian, am I? Okay, well, what do we do at that moment? And how do we think about the Lord and his word for your heart? But we're going to just think about the word itself to start off with. So I'm going to split off into little groups to talk about some scripture first. There is a handout in the thing, I think, if anyone can see one. Fantastic. I'm going to take a picture. Thanks, Gwennon. If you split yourself up into little groups, I'm going to go roughly five. How many people are in this room, roughly? 20. Good, okay. If you guys could do 2 Peter 1, verses 16 to 21. If kind of you lot here could do 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. If kind of like this section here, do Luke 24, verses 44 to 48. And then you lot here do Psalm 19, 7 to 11. I think that's all of them. Split into groups. Someone read the passage, talk about it for a few minutes. What does that passage tell you about God's word? And we'll feed back in a few minutes' time. Go. We're just going to go through each group, and we're not going to read the verses, but tell us, what do you find about Scripture? We'll start with 2 Peter 1, 16 to 21.
It's completely from God. There's loads of repetition about how the people who wrote this down were being spoken to by the Holy Spirit.
Why is that important?
Because it shows there's no human error in what's in the Bible. It's straight from God. It's good for us because it comes from God. All things come from our good.
Yeah. Excellent. Things you find in the Bible are really important. It's God's word. It is not dictated by him to passive people who had no idea what they were doing, kind of blanked out, and all of a sudden there was a scroll in front of them. Actually, God used the personalities of the people who wrote these things to construct his word. So God's word is filled with lots of different things, lots of different styles of writing from different people, and yet all of it is his word. It is a multifaceted picture of who God is. Brilliant. Excellent. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:14-17.
Again, the scripture is from God. It's God-breathed. It equips us for good work, enables us to teach and train, and gives us confidence in our salvation.
Yeah, excellent. Lots of uses of said scripture. Every single passage in your entire Bible is useful. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for, well, loads of stuff, actually. If you have a toolbox and you need to get a shelf up on your wall, you're not going to pick up the sledgehammer first. However, there are times when you need a sledgehammer. That's very important. All of scripture is useful, and sometimes it's just a sense of actually, okay, well, how is the Lord using this scripture in my life? And so going in with real confidence that whatever God says, it will be useful to me today, even if that's not immediately obvious how, that conviction is very important when we come to scripture. Okay, Romans 15:4-6.
It's there to teach us as an encouragement and hope that we'll have the right attitude to glorify God together in the same way.
Yeah, excellent. Actually, the scriptures are expressly there to keep us going in the Christian life. If you ever had that thought, man, it's just really hard to be a Christian right now, I'm really struggling, how am I going to keep going this week? Then pick up your Bible and read it. Actually, it's really important that scripture is given to us so that the Lord can continue to speak to us, that we would get the commanding instructions of our Lord and Saviour, and that's something we do together. Like, why don't we on a Sunday all just come and sit in the same room and quietly do our own personal Bible study? Because actually the Lord speaks to us all and we get to speak the word to one another. So actually, again, a real firm conviction, the Lord is purposely doing something through his word. Luke 24:44-48.
I am slightly confused about this, but it's talking about for the Old Testament, for the law and the prophets and the writings, everything about the Lord Jesus will be fulfilled.
Yeah. You go to the Old Testament because it speaks about me, says Jesus. Have you ever sat there and thought, I love the New Testament, but the Old Testament, what on earth is going on? I don't know what to do with all of the battles, of all the prophecy. Hopefully, after this weekend, midweek, you are more convinced that actually Old Testament prophecy is something you can dig into and have a great joy with. But actually, Jesus says, it's all about me. The whole thing, all the Old Testament scriptures are useful. We are not just New Testament Christians, we are Bible Christians, and the whole of God's word is for us. Finally, Psalm 19:7-11.
I mean, it's just incredible. It speaks about God's word and God, what he does and what he says. I counted 16 arguments in favour, none against. It says it's perfect, refreshing, trustworthy, wise, right, joy, radiant, light, pure, eternal, firm, righteous, precious, pure again, sweet and rewarding.
Yeah. The word of the Lord is better than honey and money. Says Psalm 19. Sweeter than the taste of honey, better than many riches. Actually, it's good to remember that. Better to have the word of the Lord today than the most excellent meal you could think of. Better to have the word of the Lord today than to win the lottery. Because if you have the word of the Lord today, you have the words of eternal life with everything you ever need forever. And it's just good to preach that to ourselves, because my heart doesn't naturally believe that. When I wake up in the morning, have a shower, and then sit with a cup of coffee and open my Bible, my brain switches off so often. And actually, one of the things I need in that moment is to go, okay, what am I coming to? What is this? And what is this going to do for me today? Because if I come believing that it's just some words that are not going to make much of a difference, or this is just a guilt factory where I'm going to feel worse for not understanding, I'm not going to read it, am I? I'm going to sit there and crush in guilt and drink my coffee and think more about my coffee than my Bible, which is not helpful, although very likely. And what I need to go to my Bible with is a real sense of awe and wonder that the God of the universe, whose word is so true that when he said stars, they exploded into being just because he said so, that his ward is in front of me and is going to do something in my heart and in my life and in my eternity. And if you come with that expectation to Bible in the morning, it will feel slightly different. So I'm just going to read us one more verse. If you turn to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, so give yourself a... If you open your Bible in the middle, you'll probably find it very quickly. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 to 11. Tommy, are you happy to read that?
Yeah.
Great.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the shower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
Excellent, thanks. Well, like I was saying before, it's just what God says of his own word. If the crops did not have any water, they would not grow. But the Lord sends the rain and they grow. If Christians did not have the word of God, we would not grow. But the Lord sends his word and we grow. God's word does his work. And just a good phrase to lock into your mind for the rest of your whole life. The word of God does the work of God. It's really key that we understand that. Now, there's a little diagram just on your handout. If you can't, if you don't have a handout on you, like look at someone's handout because it's important you can see the diagram. You have a little triangle here. And actually, I'm going to still want because I don't have the handout myself. God speaks, right? All God's word speaks. But he speaks to the original readers first. Does God speak to me directly through his word? Well, friends, I am not a first century Greek person, nor am I dressed like one, thankfully. That'd be a weird whole thing with a toga. But God speaks through what he wrote to them, to me. I don't have to be a Corinthian or a Colossian or a Philippian or an ancient Israelite to receive God's word, but I have to acknowledge that it was given to them for the instruction of everyone in the future. So when I come to God's word, a bad question sometimes is, how does this directly apply to my life right now? That's a good question to ask after you've done some thinking, but if it's the first question you ask, you begin to ask things like, am I allowed to eat a prawn today? Because I just read this bit in Leviticus that says that I shouldn't. If you don't do any thinking, good luck with that problem of conscience for the rest of the day. Or if I think, okay, well, this was given to ancient Israel, and actually all that this law points to has been fulfilled in Christ, who declared all food clean one day. Isn't it wonderful that I have the freedom that Jesus has fulfilled the law for me? Okay, well, it might take me some thinking to get there. It'll probably take a good long time to really apply that. But then that's a wonderful thing to think on in my mind in the morning. But if I just try and apply it directly to me, I'm not going to get there because I'm going to do that badly. This is why we must listen and also think. It is important that you arrive at God's word with your brain switched on, and if it's not, give it a kickstart. But that pattern then, God speaks to them then for us now. It's just a really good pattern. And we'll have been doing that all the way through Ephesians as we looked at how did they receive that. We'll be doing that in Proverbs of thinking, actually, the ancient Israel that received this book, how did that shape them to be people? Now, that's then going to shape who we are. And the last thing I'm going to say is there's a little box on your sheets. And if you don't have a box on your sheets, just pick up a notebook. What are some of your biggest questions about reading the Bible for yourself, about personal Bible reading? I'm just going to spend kind of a minute to a minute and a half in silence. Just want you to write down some honest questions for yourself. And if they're not answered by the end of the seminar, you can frisbee them at Abby and I. So 2 minutes on that, and then Abby's going to pick up the next bit.
Okay, so roughly in the same, yeah, in the same groups that you were just going through the passages before and chatting a little bit with, I want you to take about 2 to 3 minutes and just chat with each other about some of the biggest struggles that you have with reading the Bible, and then some of the biggest encouragements, so kind of on both sides, because I guarantee you a lot of you are going to be able to identify some very similar ones that everyone shares in common. So just chat for 2-3-ish minutes, and then we'll come back together and we'll just share some thoughts. So starting with this group over here, because we started with you guys last time, just highlight a few things that you chatted about with both kind of struggles and encouragements with personal Bible reading.
I think I struggle with taking things out of context, especially with the Old Testament. I think there's a lot of things like how God is a jealous God, which I think can be easy to like look at that and then make an assumption really quickly.
What about the next group?
You've kind of fragmented a bit. So it's
fermented?
What?
we find it so interesting because it's like it's what we said, better than honey and money, it's sweeter than honey, it's purer than gold. You'd think that any normal human would desire it. It's got every answer to like all our questions. It's one of the most interesting and yet entertaining and you know full books we've ever seen, and for some reason we don't desire it. And we're saying when we first look at it we want to read it and we don't desire it. It just doesn't make sense that we don't desire it.
Next group, shout out, any thoughts and highlights you had?
I'm just saying, like, you struggle sometimes, like, starting one thing and starting another thing, or, like, the consistency as well, and, like, just wanting to read the Bible, not, like, seeing it as short.
I'm guessing every single group probably talked about the struggles with consistency and just the practicality of really reading scripture. How about you guys? I don't know which group you were in. This group?
We were talking about like consistency, but also like it's not a coincidence that like when we look back on our lives and think of good times, like those were the times when we were being consistent. And like, how we when we returned to it, we're like, oh, this is so good. Like, why did we ever give it up? But like you say, like you get busy, you get lazy, and you stop.
Yeah. You guys? Oh, sorry, guys.
We were sort of speaking about how it's sometimes we just like can, it's quite easy to just like read it as like a story, like, or continue to read it without like digging deeper into it. But like when we do dig deeper into understand more, like just focus on a shorter, like in a shorter book or whatever, like we did with Zephaniah, that we can really like take a little away from it. And that,
You guys, final thoughts.
You mentioned this with struggling with like staying focused during our quiet times or study scripture, sort of like looking at a page and wanting to like it, wanting to understand it, you know, the same way we you know like sports or any other thing we're interested in, but then we still struggle with just staying focused and really just not trailing off.
So I think everyone can attest to the fact of just focus, consistency, the ability to remain steadfast in scripture. It's something every single person struggles with. And being able to know how to approach scripture and how to do it consistently and what the purpose of it is. So as we dive into thinking about some of the practicalities of reading scripture and how to start overcoming some of the obstacles that everybody has, let's read aloud. We're going to do four different quick verses to just think about the fact that scripture is crucial, it is active, and it is absolutely vital. So starting on that foundation, and then we can jump off into everything else. So can I have someone read Hebrews 4:12? Anybody who gets there first can just read it out.
I think I got it.
Go for it.
One page up.
Sorry, did I? Okay. Hey, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
And then our next one, Deuteronomy. Everyone's here, book. Deuteronomy 8:3. And whoever gets there, just...
And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Nice. Okay, Romans 10:17. I'm bombarding you with a bunch of stuff.
Romans
10:17.
He's got the top.
So got it.
I'm on the page. That's what I'm saying.
Next time. Next time.
I got the next one.
Alright. So, do you have it?
No, you have it.
So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
Nice. Alright, last one. John 6:63. Come on, Rupert.
Yeah, I got it. The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life.
So, what is the common theme that came up in every single verse? Someone shout it out.
I'm too busy racing, but I was actually listening. It was such a
Did no one comprehend anything that was read?
Oh, what?
It's the word of the Lord that is important.
The word of the Lord, and particularly the word of the Lord, is life-giving. If you can sum up all of that, it's just the word of the Lord is life-giving. The word of the Lord is life-giving. You cannot live without the word of the Lord. It is hammered over and over again in Scripture. So, and like Scripture says in Romans, it is a tool. It is a sword. So Scripture is one of your main tools and weapons for living. Not reading and knowing Scripture is sort of like trying to paddle a canoe or a kayak without a paddle. You can't actually do it. You're not going to capsize immediately, but it's kind of like, ooh, yay, I'm just sitting here. And I have no ability to go anywhere. So I want to encourage you, just keep continuing. Read those verses frequently of just the word is life. It is life-giving. This is how you live. This is how you feed. This is how you grow. So then when it comes to us, what is Bible reading for in light of all of these things that we've just gone through? Shout out some ideas.
Growing in your faith?
Yes. Anything else?
Just become more like Christ.
Become more like Christ. What else?
It shines some light on your heart. So
yes.
Being better equipped to evangelize?
Yes.
To heed the warnings that are in Scripture?
Mm-hmm. Anything else? There's lots of other things.
Learn wisdom for living in God's world?
Yes. So it's wisdom for growth, for living for Christ, for becoming like Christ, for the continual pursuit of what the Christian life is for, becoming like Christ, following Christ, being his children. So continually being in the word is crucial for transformation of your life. Think of it, everyone uses this, including Paul, of running a marathon. You have to train to be able to do it better and better. And so in order to be living a faithful life, for becoming like Christ, you're going to be absolutely dependent on his word. That is how the growing and the training works. So there's a really helpful quote. I actually don't remember who this is from. But they basically just summed up the purpose of reading Scripture and being in Scripture. Over the course of a lifetime, the living word transforms us and enables us to persevere in our lives, lived daily for him as we patiently wait the day of Christ. So it's a long-term game, guys. It's not actually even a marathon. It's more like an endless 1,000-mile race that just keeps going. And Scripture is at the heart of that for being the means of transforming and giving you the means of remaining faithful and persevering in following Christ. So I'm going to keep bombarding you with Scripture references. Can someone read for us 2 Timothy 3:16-17?
All Scripture is breathed out by God. And it's given. Sorry.
You ready?
To be able to
This is a great one to have memorized, guys.
All Scripture is God-breathed and is for the teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness.
Yes. Teaching, rebuke, and training in righteousness. The three big areas of Christian life. Training in righteousness. How do you get there? Scripture. I would really encourage you guys to have that at the back of your mind at all times. Memorize that verse. My parents actually used to make me say that verse every morning. And after enough years, it rubbed off. But some unhelpful ways to think about scripture that is very common and easy to slip into is that scripture reading daily, it's not a magical shot. It's not like, ooh, I had my coffee for the day and now I can function and my day is perfectly clear and everything is bright and beautiful and lovely and the birds are singing because I read my Bible today. That's not exactly how it works. That is not to say, as we just read, that all of Scripture is for the purpose of living faithfully and it is the word by which we live through. That doesn't mean that Scripture is not real and practical and comforting and helpful, but you can't treat it as just like, oh, it's my little vitamin shot of the day. And now I'm just going to be like magically healthy. But continually thinking of it in terms of I am training, and this is my weapon for training. So, with all of that groundwork done, a few more practical questions to think through that people often ask when it comes to the practicalities of reading your Bible. I don't want to read it. What do you do when you just run up against the wall of, I don't want to do it? Or my faith is shaky, so I don't want to do it because I just don't really need that challenge in my day-to-day life. Shout out some reasons why that is not a helpful way to start thinking.
Maybe one of them is because if you're already so doubting that you don't even feel like you can read the Bible, that could be like a deep problem. Potentially in trying to know and have a relationship with God at all.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think there's something with like God, like even if sometimes your faith might be challenged, sometimes you face things that make you question things. I don't think God ever said that he didn't want us to know and learn and grow in our faith, and some stuff like that can be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if you run into the problem of, oh, I feel a little shaky, I don't want the challenge of Scripture, you're not just going to magically all of a sudden stop having challenges in your life because you're not reading Scripture. You're like, oh, I live in a delusional world. again, it's the training. It is a training mechanism. So when there are doubts, when there are challenges, and there are questions, your first defense is to turn to Scripture. It's not to turn away from Scripture, but to turn to Scripture and delve into it and think, all right, the Lord said it's the word that it will give me life, so that's not going to mean that I can just turn away from it and keep flourishing. So when in doubt, continue in Scripture. Continue in Scripture. What if it feels like an empty habit? That's also a big question a lot of people have. It just feels like the monotonous, I'm going through the motions, I'm reading, am I really, you know, partaking in Scripture, am I really understanding anything I am reading? And it's a genuine question, something that all of us struggle with, but there has to be a trust in the discipline that creates a faithful life for Christ. Again, I'm just going to keep saying it. You got to think of it as training. and there has to be a trust in the discipline. Like when you go to the gym, you're not going to magically all of a sudden be able to lift 500 pounds because you have lifted 5 pounds. It takes training. You have to build up, and you have to trust the discipline that will continue to create a faithful life. I'm going to throw one more quote at you from Don Whitney, one of my faves, who talks about the fact that discipline is used actually as a means of grace. The Lord uses discipline to continue sanctifying and training you. So he says, our job is to place ourselves before God by means of these disciplines, and then when we look to him by faith through them, we can expect to experience him and his grace. there's like one thing you can take away. Just think of the phrase, discipline is a genuine means that the Lord works through and extends his grace through. So do not be afraid of having the discipline of being in the Word. So what about the question? I disagree with what I read. Does anyone have an answer for that?
Have faith.
Have faith?
Maybe thought you can ask like questions, and because it might have been that you might have a concern because of something else, and talking to like another member of your church or like a leader or teacher might help you develop a better understanding of what it's actually saying rather than what you might be worried or concerned that it's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ask, Alice.
I think for me, it's like sometimes I just pause and ask myself, who on earth do I think I am? disagreeing with something that the Lord God has said.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not God, so why do I get to be like, nah, I don't really like that?
Yeah. So all three of these things. So asking yourself, okay, who am I that I'm challenging this? Because you have to, there is a necessary component of trusting that this is the inerrant word of the Lord. That's the baseline of where you're starting. This is the inerrant word of God that is for our living. And then, genuinely, if you had the questions, asking questions, guys, all the time, be asking questions. Think back to John Gemmel when he pulled up the picture of his first chapter of Zephaniah. He just had notes written all over it. He had like 20 questions just relating to like two of the verses. It is so incredibly helpful to just have questions that are constantly pouring out of you. Write them down or be asking them constantly if you have any sort of, because guess what? Scripture's hard. Sometimes there are some very confusing things in Scripture. Question, ask questions, write them down. Ask people like Simon. Ask people like Paul. Have open discussions with your friends. Questions are your best friend when it comes to reading Scripture.
For what it's worth, I think if you find yourself reading a passage and you go, I don't like this, acknowledge that. Don't sit there going, oh my goodness, I just have the wrong thought. Not helpful. Actually, the exercise of faith isn't never questioning anything. It's actually questioning the right way. And it's actually making sure you pick those things up and walk with them. Not going, I don't like this, I'm never going to read it, and I also don't like what God says. But actually going, I don't like what God says here. Okay, what am I going to do with that? That's the exercise of faith in that moment.
Thank you. Super helpful. Second part of that. I'm confused. What do you do when you're confused when you're reading Scripture? Because this is one of the first things that will happen when you are reading prophecy, when you're reading Song of Solomon, when you're reading Job, when you're reading these massive parts of Scripture, guys. They're confusing. They're really confusing. Ask questions. Again, it's going to be your best friend. You just ask questions. Sometimes there will be whole sections where you have to underline every single sentence, and you're like, don't know what that means, what does this mean? And that's going to be your starting place. Ask questions. And then slow down, read it again, and then learn about the context. This is, again, reading. You just read more and more and more. And also be okay with some unclarity, because not everything is going to be crystal clear at the first glance. There are things that will become clear to you, questions that you ask when you're 20 years old, and then 30 years down the line, all of a sudden you'll be like, wait, I've studied this enough, I've read this enough, I think I just put a few pieces together. I was just talking to my mom about that the other day. She's been reading Genesis every year for like 40 years now. And she was like, I finally broke through on Lot. And she's like, I think I understand it now. I've been asking the same questions about Lot for 40 years. And so consistency and just being dogged about continuing to read again and again. Do not fear repetition. I also feel very justified in this since John Gimbel also said this yesterday. And then again, continue to ask questions. Ask your friends. Ask that you all are in a wonderful student community at church and in a broader church body. Have discussions. Go up to, I'm just going to point to you again, Simon or Scott or John or anyone else and just be like, hey, I was reading Song of Solomon this week. Help me. And I guarantee you, they would love to. Most of the time.
We can have that chat maybe if you're a girl, go to Kirsty.
So, yeah, do not, book. Yeah, it is a great book. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Okay, and then one last thing. The question of what if I'm too busy? This is key.
You're not.
Thank you! That's the answer. Basically, this is it's a little bit of a black and white issue. Yes, everyone is busy in life. You all are students. Everyone has busy commitments and responsibilities. You're not too busy. Show of hands, who spends time with friends? Who has friends? Every single one of you. Who has time to eat meals? Who has time to watch TV shows? Who has time to do anything fun in their schedule besides their coursework? I hope that's all of you. I'm a little concerned if you think it's not. But needless to say, you have, if you really sit down and write down a schedule of your life, you'll shockingly find you have a lot more free hours than you think you do. And so it's time to really just forge ahead and be like, okay, we're going to block out time in my schedule to read scripture. Sometimes, yes, there will be necessities of, okay, I need to squeeze it in while I'm doing something else. I often find it's really, really helpful to do scripture while you're either eating breakfast or dinner. Super helpful. Get up early. Go to bed early so that you can get up early. Read while you're doing other things. Cut out other things like social media. You can find a few minutes in your day. Trust me. And the habits that you form right now, this is the perfect, 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 perfect time of your life to be forming these habits as students, because yes, you are busy, but your life is going to continue getting busier. Every year of your life until you die, it's going to get busier. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Responsibilities get bigger. Life gets busier and harder. This is the perfect time to be like, I will come up with a plan, and I will be devoted to it, because guess what? You have the time. Trust me. Okay.
So I'm just going to ask that. You can, like, it sounds really stupid, but, like, pray.
The last thing here really is just practicalities. Abby's given us a lot about where our hearts are with this. Where do I feel? There's a few things, right? Who saves you?
Jesus.
Jesus, good. Try that again. Who saves you?
Jesus.
Thank you. Better. Kirsty, what are you doing with students' work? Come on now.
Jesus.
There we go. Excellent. Does your Bible reading save you?
No.
Yeah, good. Your Bible reading doesn't save you. Friends.
You look horrified, Alex.
You are loved, saved, and forgiven because of what Christ has done for you, not because you read your Bible. Just remember that. When you wake up in the morning and feel guilty for not having given enough time to something, or you get free day and go, I haven't read my Bible in 4 days, what am I doing with my life? You're saved by Christ, not by your Bible reading. So although it is a discipline, it's a discipline of grace. It comes from what Christ has already given us. Next, who is the first person that you question when you're struggling with something in your Bible? The Lord. Actually, pray to him. If you're struggling with a Bible passage, pray. And I think praying in advance of your Bible study, even just a one-word prayer, Lord, help me to understand your word this morning. Great prayer. Because actually, it's expressing that dependence. Whose word is it? It is the Lord's. And we are coming as his children, already loved and saved, to read and hear. So of course, actually, if you pray, there's a good chance the Lord will answer that prayer. And I know my own personal Bible reading, there's been moments where I've gone, what on earth is that? I don't get it. I don't like it. And then I've just actually had the instinct to go, Lord help, I don't understand what that is. And in the next 10 minutes, all of a sudden, it makes sense. And I can only say that's a work of the Spirit in your life as you read the Bible. That doesn't happen, like as Abby said, it's not magic, it doesn't happen every moment. But this is something to actually come out with a prayerful attitude and to receive with joy. So, a couple of practicalities, and this is very much just kind of mopping up things before we come to some questions at the end. What version should I read? Whatever version is helpful, but please make it a useful version. Let me encourage you towards the ESV, which you use at church, or the NIV. Is it okay to read the message? I can almost guarantee someone's had that in their head. Sure, if it helps. Like, actually, if it helps you engage with God's word, that's fine. The message is, by its own ascription, more of a paraphrase. Like, the writer of it doesn't think that it's a direct Bible translation. So don't make that the only thing you read. If it's helpful, if you engage with scripture, fantastic. Listen to God's word. Hannah, have you listened to audiobooks or podcasts? Yeah, okay, quite a few of us. So, actually, if I'm fully honest, what did I not do this morning? I didn't get up in time to read my Bible before I came in. Felt like really guilty, so what am I going to do? Actually, on the way in to today, actually put on a podcast that I know is going to read some scripture to me and then comment on it. Naturally, that is really, it's been a real encouragement to me. Mine is the Crossway Daily Encouragement, Daily Strength podcast. It's like 7 to 10 minutes. It's very doable. Now, that's usually just to help me get back to a normal Bible reading schedule, and actually a good reminder to me if I had to go to the podcast, I need to get up earlier. But actually good. I still get to interact with the Lord's word. Bible reading plans, if you're on the church one right now, fantastic. The kind of 5 days of a week one, that's wonderful. But whatever helps. If you find a Bible reading plan that you like, do it. If eventually you don't like it anymore, you don't have to finish it. And if you find one that you don't like, stop. Look, whatever helps is the right answer. How to read it? Well, as Abby's already kind of says after that, good Bible reading begins the night before with good sleep if it's a breakfast time thing, or good preparation for dinner. Actually, make the time that you are reading your Bible a priority. But when you come to a passage, here's 3 easy steps, right? If you come to any Bible passage and you don't know what to do, these 3 steps are the things that I do that I think would be most helpful to me. What is the main thing this passage says? Right? Look through the passage. What is one main thing I can take out of this? Number 2, how can I thank God for that? That's a hard question, team. Some days you can thank the Lord because actually you've just seen the resurrection of Christ and your heart sings because isn't it wonderful? Some days you're reading something in the back corner of Ezekiel and you're scratching your head going, I have no idea what this is about. Find a way to thank the Lord for it. Even if your prayer is, thank you, Lord, that that is in your word. I don't like it, I don't understand it, but you are good. Help me, and thank you that it's there. That is a wonderful, excellent Christian prayer. Yeah.
Did you say, how can I thank the Lord for this passage?
Yeah. And 3rd question, how does that make a difference to my day? If this is true, if the God of the universe has said this to me, how is that going to make a difference to me today? What's the main thing? How can I thank God for it? Why is that going to make a difference to me? Friends, if that is all you do in a morning when you come to reading God's word and actually thinking about it, that's a huge thing. That has helped me so often. Applying a Bible passage, 3 things. Head, hands, heart. Not in that order, clearly I don't know which one's which. Head, hands, heart, there we are. Does the Bible immediately change your actions every day? Is it going to change what you do in your lectures today? Well, maybe not directly. Some days it might directly change your actions. But actually, if it's changing your mind and your thoughts, if it's reconstructing a worldview where actually more and more God is becoming the Lord of everything you see, great, that's a really good application of the Bible passage. But if it's changing your heart, actually if my affections are warm to the Lord Jesus, if I come for my Bible reading in the morning and go, I love that God is like that. Fantastic, that's a really good application of the passage. You don't need to turn that into some kind of not really real practical thing to make that useful. It is already useful. And finally, walk before you run. It is okay, and you're all way younger than me, to actually just have a growing discipline of this. Like, you don't have to be going 1,000 miles an hour. And as Abby's been saying again and again and again about training, the first time someone learns to kick a football isn't the first time they play a match in a league. Just learn to kick a football. The first time you read a Bible patch is not the same thing that you'll be doing when you're much older with the same understanding. But actually, it's okay to just be where you're at and be all right with that. Don't look at the people around you and go, oh, he's so much better reading the Bible than I am. She is so much more well-informed. Who cares? Right? Live your life before the Lord, not before everybody else. And get on with your thing. Because it is the Lord speaking to you, and it's a gift to you. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us, because we would be so lost, Lord, without you. If we didn't know and hear about the Lord Jesus and hear the gospel, we would have no chance of being saved yet. Lord, in the gospel, you have spoken to us the words of Christ, that we might be saved, that we, in unity with him, might die to our sin and live forever. And Father, we thank you that your word never stops speaking. May we in our hearts know that it is more valuable than money, that it is greater to the taste than honey, that it is, Lord, everything that we need. And would you speak to us through it, and by your Spirit encourage us to grow in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.